Genesis chapter number 40, and let's look, if we could, at verse number 5. The Bible says, "And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? Verse 8. And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." Let the church say amen. Let's pray together. Father, would you add thy blessing to the reading of your word? Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing tonight. I pray that this word would be exactly what your people need, exactly what I need. And I pray we'd apply it. God, meet us right where we are. Take us to where you are. Keep the devil from interfering. Keep us from being distracted. And help us to glean what you have for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, let's say the statement together. All right. And the Lord was with Joseph. Let's say it. And the Lord was with Joseph. One more time. And the Lord was with Joseph. Where? At Potiphar's. Where he got dropped off, if you would. His brothers threw him in a pit. By the way, the Lord was with him there. And then at Potiphar's, the Lord was with him. And he was tempted there, and he was set up there, and he was wrongfully accused there, but the Lord was with him. And we're asking you, has the Lord been with you when you go through those tough times? From Potiphar's, he went to prison. And we saw very clearly in the Word of God that the Lord was with him in prison. Can you imagine the hand of God being seen on this man's life when he was somewhere he really didn't belong? And he didn't go there because he was out of character. He didn't go there because he was running from God. He went there because the powers that be, they put him there. And the providence of God allowed him to be there. And you could see God on it. I'm concerned about Christians that have all of this hallelujah, praise the Lord, and they've got God on them on the mountaintop. And then when they land down in the valley, unexpectedly, all of a sudden, God's gone. Did he up and leave? Did he drop you? Did he say, no, I ain't going down there with you? Did he say, no, no, I'll only be with you when things are going well? No, 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 no. You left God. You quit living for God. And so God cannot be seen in your life. Let me tell you something. If you choose to walk with God, I'll tell you something. God will walk with you. If you'll choose to obey God, God will be seen in your life. There's Joseph in prison where we see him right now. And the Lord was with him, the abrupt placement, the absolute providence, the awarded position. God was so on this young man that he got put in charge. His superior saw God on him and he trusted him and he put everything, including everybody, under Joseph's watch care. Let me tell you something. You know, Christian, that you're living for God when heathen people trust you. You know you're living for God when coworkers that don't know the Lord trust you. You know you're living for God when business people who are not saved trust you. Listen, your Christianity will translate in a lost world among people that don't know God. Let me tell you something. Character will thrive. Not just survive. Character will thrive in any environment, in any culture, in the workplace, in the school. Let me tell you something. You may be in a public school, and I know most of our kids they're schooling from home right now, but I'm going to tell you something. Just because you go to a public school and your teachers don't know God, just because you go to a public school and your coach doesn't know God, just because you go to a public school and those that are around you don't know God, doesn't mean they can't see God on you. They may not know what to call it, but they'll know there's something special about it. He got awarded a position. And then we saw in chapter 40 additional predicaments. Somewhere else, other people were also going through their own set of trials. In this case, it was the chief of the bakers and the chief of the butlers. They were servants of Pharaoh. They messed up. They made an offense. Pharaoh got outraged, and it resulted in an outcome where they were placed in the same place where Joseph was. Different reason for being there, but same place. You got to understand something, Christian. Sometimes it's our righteousness that gets us in trouble. And sometimes it's other people's foolishness that gets them in trouble. But the providence of God will situate us for different reasons in the same location. And we're going to get an opportunity. And the question is whether or not we're going to take advantage of the opportunity that God has given us to bring him glory and to impact other people. So Joseph was assigned peers. That's what we looked at last time. Assigned peers. These folks, really based on what God allowed, based on their own mistakes, and now based on their bosses, Pharaoh's judgment on them, they end up where Joseph is. Watch this now. Joseph is where they are. They are assigned to be peers. Divine appointment, diligent assistance. He served them. I talked about serving those that are around us. Listen, that's how you know the Lord's with you. Whether you're looking for an opportunity to be a blessing among people, even though you're in a spot you don't want to be, you're in a spot you don't deserve to be, you're in a spot you never thought you'd be in, but yet God's got you there. I think some Christians are going to have to come to grips with the fact, I'm here, God put me here. I'm here, God allowed me to be here. I'm here, God has ordained for this to happen. I'm here, I can't change it. But just because I can't change it doesn't mean I shouldn't be a Christian. My character must be consistent even when I'm in a tough predicament. And so this delayed association means they were there for a season. They continued a season in ward, verse 4. This was an extended period of time. And let me tell you something. You may be in a spot for longer than you thought you were. You may be around some people for longer than you thought you were. You're going to have to settle down and settle in agreement with God's providence, in agreement with God's placement, and say, I'm going to be working with these folks for a while. I'm going to be around them for a while. We're going to be working on this same contract for a while. I'm going to be in this teacher's class for a while. I'm going to sit beside this classmate for a while. I'm going to work with this coworker for a while. I'm going to be in this position with someone for a while. So I'm going to have to sustain my Christianity. You see, some people for a few hours. You see a doctor for a few minutes. You see church members for a service. But there are some people that God is going to situate you around. You're going to have to live out Christ. You're going to have to live out character. You're going to have to live out the Bible in front of them for a season. We're going to find out whether or not you're real or not. What is the synonymous phrase for real in Genesis chapter 40? And the Lord was with Joseph. That's the thing. We're going to know whether or not you're real, not by what you do for an hour on Sunday, but what you do for a season. You listening? For a season. For a season. And by the way, sometimes we use the word season thinking people are seasonal. They do it for a while and quit. But in this context, we're using the term season to say for an extended period of time, right? Right. We don't judge spring by what it does for one day. We call it spring by what it does for several months. We're not going to judge you, Christian, by what you do for just one service of one day. We want to see what you do for an extended period of time. They were with him for a season, a delayed association. Tonight, I want to look at one more thought in this subject of the Lord was with Joseph in prison. It's what I call an active process. An active process. And this is why I'm calling it an active process. You're in prison. You're not where you thought you should be. Now remember, Joseph's got to be remembering this dream that he had way back in Genesis chapter 37, that his brother's going to bow down to him, his mother and father are going to bow down to him. I mean, God's going to bless him. You think right about now in prison, he's going, where is that dream at? Well, where is Genesis 37, God? And sometimes when you get down in a rut, and you start recalling what God said to you, you go comparing. You go comparing what God said by way of promotion and prosperity here in Genesis 37 and where I am in Genesis 40 in prison. These don't match. And you begin to question God. And by questioning God, watch this now, you become spiritually inactive. Are you listening to me? Spiritually inactive. We call it stagnant, stale, lethargic, nonchalant. There's no movement in your Christianity. Here's why. Surely this is not part of the plan. God said, I'm going to be bowed down to. They're going to make obeisance to me. I don't belong here. This is just a pause in God's plan. So watch this now. I get to pause my Christianity because God paused his plan. No. Please listen. You've got to stay active in your Christianity even when it feels like your destiny is on pause. Are you listening to me? You got to be on play even when you think like your destiny is on pause. You got to stay active. And we're going to watch this active process in Joseph's life. And it's going to involve others. Okay? This is why your Christianity cannot be stagnant. Because other people's livelihood is dependent upon your Christianity. That's when your Christianity goes to another level. When you're learning to live not just for you, but for other people. When you get up every morning and say, if I fail God, it's going to hurt somebody. If I don't get out of bed spiritually, if I don't put my Christian clothes on spiritually, if I don't get ready for the day, if I don't eat my spiritual breakfast, if I don't do my spiritual exercise, if I don't follow through my spiritual responsibilities, somebody that's been assigned as my peer is going to miss what he needs because I'm not doing what I need to do for Almighty God. Now, notice this active process involves specific dreams. Verse 5, and they, same two, chief of the bakers, chief of the butlers, they've been placed with Joseph for a season, dreamed a dream, both of them. Specific dreams. Notice what the scripture said, each man had his dream in one night, same night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. Isn't it like the Bible to make clear, same two people. Same two people that messed up with Pharaoh. Same two people that got Pharaoh upset. Same two people that got thrown in prison where Joseph was. Same two people that Joseph is serving. Same two people that are with Joseph for a season in war. Same two people had dreams. I want you to think about this. Stuff is going on in the lives of people around you. Your coworkers, your family, your spouse, your kids, your fellow church members. Listen to me. They're going through things. And here are these two fellas. They're having a dream. Have no clue what the dream is saying. Have no clue what's going on. Listen to me. When people that don't know God face problems, don't have a clue what to do. They have no idea what's going on. I said to my dad a couple weeks ago, I can't imagine people going through this virus, through this time that we're facing right now without God. What are they going? They must be going, what in the world is happening? Those that got sick or those who got fired or those who had to close their businesses down or those who lost a loved one or those who are struggling to find employment. How in the world do they make it? And here are these fellas, both dreaming a dream, specific dreams. Notice, if you will, what I call sensitive discernment. Verse 5, they dream, each one with a dream with its own interpretation. This baker, this butler, both of them chiefs. But in verse number 6, Joseph came in unto them in the morning. Did what he was doing. Remember, he served them. They were under his charge. He was supposed to be a blessing to them. He comes in the morning, like he did every morning, doing what he's supposed to do. But this time, he looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Sensitive discernment. What do you mean the active process? Remember, your Christianity cannot stall just because you're going through something that you didn't ask for. What do you mean active Christianity? I mean, you can't get in a rut where you're just doing your routine, but you're not paying attention. Huh, here go your breakfast. See you later. I'll be back at lunchtime. Huh, I just come in to do my job. It's church time. We're in the middle of a pandemic. I just come in, open my Bible, say hi, leave, go back home. I just go pray and say I prayed. I'm just going to go out and do the spiritual thing that I said to do. Whoa. Put your thinking cap on, Joseph. Put your spiritual glasses on. God has put these people around you to watch you be a Christian. But not only to watch you be a Christian, God has put these two people around you for you to watch them in their trial. He looked on. Maybe he's bringing the breakfast in. Maybe he's coming in and doing his duties. Maybe he's checking on them. Maybe he's going through his rounds in the morning. But he notices two prisoners that he's been placed around for a season look sad. Sensitive discernment. Hey, the Lord being with you will manifest itself by your ability to be sensitive to the needs of others. I know this, brother, you're You look like you're going through something today. Sister, you look like you're carrying a burden today. Honey, look like something's bothering you. Maybe you say that to your wife, or you say that to your husband. Man, kids, what's going on? I noticed when you came home from school today, you look like something's on your mind. Let me tell you something. When the Lord is with you, you won't just know how to handle your problems, but you'll be concerned about other people's problems. Sensitive discernment. Have you ever been around folks and you had a burden, you didn't really want to say it, you didn't really want to go into it, you didn't really want to divulge it, but you, maybe you're dropping a little hint, maybe you thought they might notice, maybe it could be very obvious. They talk right past it. Hey, how you doing? All right, see you later. You ever had somebody call you and say, how you doing? Well, I've had a rough day. Oh, really? Oh, I want to know. Could I borrow your, you know? No sensitivity. Discernment comes from God. Listen to me. When you're walking with God, God will give you the eyes and the discernment to see the needs of others. Have you spent time with God lately? Have you spent time in His Word lately? Have you spent time on your knees lately? Have you spent time meditating on the things of God? Oh yes, Pastor, God and I walk together every single day. Don't tell me you're walking with God, but you don't know how to walk with others. Why are you so sad? They were sad. Look at verse number 7. He asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, why, wherefore, look ye so sadly today? I call this a sincere discussion. Pastor, why do you call it a sincere discussion? Because it has a very strong distinction from just being nosy. Huh? Anybody listening? How many of you know some people ask you because they're concerned, other people ask you because they're nosy. Wherefore look ye so sad? Wonder what's going on with her today. Notice she had a little attitude on him. I bet something happened. No. That's not Joseph. That's Madeline. That's messy. That's looking for juice. That's looking for gossip. And sometimes it's an appetite because we love to see other people struggling. Not Joseph. See, if you're serving people before they run into problems, then you'll be burdened for them when they have problems. You can't just all of a sudden pick up spirituality when it's convenient. Why was Joseph noticeable of their sadness? Huh? Because he was paying attention to them every morning. See, how you gonna spot a countenance difference of sadness when you've been paying attention to people's gladness? Let me tell you something. Love people where they are. When they're glad, when they're sad. When they're happy, when they're down. When things are going well and when things are not going well. Wherefore look ye so sadly today? When's the last time the God on you drew you to someone enough to say, I notice you're going through something. I see there's a trial. And by the way, without a sign up that they have, without a post up that you read, without something that traveled into your ear because someone told you. Now, I'm talking about spiritual discernment that takes you to a sensitive discussion where you say, what's going on? What bothers you? It's like Jesus that showed up to those unnamed disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they're walking, kicking rocks and sad because they felt like this Jesus who they thought was the Messiah had now been crucified, and there had nobody could find him. And he shows up to them one day and they begin talking about what's going on, and he says to them, what things? What's going on? Isn't it like God to find us where we are? What do us got here, Elijah? Jolly, what you sitting under this tree for? What are you doing? Why are you discouraged? Why art thou cast down? We need to be those catalysts for God to go reach out to people and say, wherefore lookest thou so sadly today? A sincere discussion. Stop having conversations with people to learn their business and start having conversations with people to bear their burdens. I can't tell you what a blessing it is for somebody to say, I notice you're going through something. Can I be a blessing? Why art thou so sadly looking upon your face? And by the way, before you ask people a question about what's going on, already have a plan in your heart and mind to do something about it. Don't just look for information. By the way, there are a lot of our folks that are struggling. Sometimes you just need to decide, I'm going to do something about it. Not just find out and call in other people. Hey, did you hear about such and such? What's going on with him? I noticed such. You ever thought about picking up the phone and calling the person and saying, I noticed I haven't seen you. Or I noticed when I see you, you don't look the same. What's going on in your life? Folks, Those are the instincts of people that have the Lord with them. And then their stated distress. This is where we'll close. They responded. And listen to their response. They said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." The interpretation, the context here in Genesis 40, is a dream that they had that they could not interpret. But the application for us is very simple. A problem that I can't solve. A situation I can't fix. A blank I can't fill in. A question I can't answer. A sickness I can't heal. A monetary situation I can't fix. A family crisis that I cannot remedy. Isn't that what people all around us are going through all the time? And listen to me. Here's the problem. We're so upset that we're in prison, we're missing the opportunity to help someone else with his problem. This is why God had Joseph in prison. And this is why God brought this baker and this butler to the same prison where Joseph was. They had a problem. Listen, we got two groups of prisoners right here, right? In one group is Joseph. In the next group is the chief of the baker and the chief of the butlers. But let me tell you something. These two groups aren't the same. They're both in the same spot. But one's got God and the other group doesn't have God. But can I ask you a question? Is it enough for us just to be in a world going through problems with God without giving God to the people that are going through problems that don't know Him? That's why they were there. They weren't just there to be punished. They were there to see God on somebody. Let me tell you something. You may be the only Bible somebody reads. You may be the only thing that they see about God. What kind of commercial are you going to be for God? God has brought the audience to you. Don't you think that your valley is so secluded and that you in your trial are so isolated that you're so all alone and there's no reason for you to be a Christian because nobody can see it anyway? God will bring an audience to your valley. Listen to David in Psalm 23. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Watch this now. While I'm under attack, I'm surrounded by enemies, not friends, but they're watching me. And in this case, Joseph wasn't surrounded by enemies. He was surrounded by peers who had a problem. We have a dream and we can't interpret it. There are people that have a marriage and they can't fix it. They've got a rebellious child and they can't bring that child back. They've got cancer and they don't know how to get rid of cancer. But watch this now. They don't even know how to deal with the fact they have it. And there they are, dropped into your lap. And there you are with an opportunity to serve them. And you've earned enough rapport by your Christianity to get an answer. By the way, if you're living like the devil, you can ask people their business all you want to. They're not going to answer you. But if you've shown the love of God, you can say, "What you're going through?" And you'll get an answer. And we're going to find out next time, not only will you get an answer from them about their problem, but you can give them an answer from Him to fix their problem. And Lord was with Joseph. Why? "Joseph, you're in prison, but I'm with you. God, you're with me?" "Yes, I'm with you." Why? "Because I'm going to bring somebody else to prison right beside you. And they're going to go through something that they can't fix. But the God on you can fix their problem. The question is, will you allow Him to use you to do it?" And the Lord was with Joseph in prison. Where are you tonight? Going through a tough time? Let the Lord be with you. Not just for you, but for those around you too. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you've used it. I pray, God, that it would be applied. Somebody's watching us. People are going through stuff. They don't have a clue what to do. But you do. And help our Christianity to be so real and so recognizable that people will feel confident enough to share their problems with us because there's something they see on us that tells them we might just know what to tell them. And the Lord was with Joseph. May you be with us too. In Jesus' name, amen.